That. I believe this will be the message for the hour. 2 Kings chapter number 6. You find your place, verse number 24. If you'll stand to your feet, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God and we'll honor the author of the book.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all of his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung with 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and what we will eat him tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within and upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so more also unto me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of the master's feet behind him?" And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, "Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Lord, I ask you just for a little while. Lord, you'd take our thoughts and you'd develop them. Lord, you'd help us to speak them plainly and clearly unto this congregation. Lord, may we look unto you as the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, may we go into this new year realizing there's some things that need some adjustments in our lives. Lord, help us to be careful in what we eat. Lord, for I realize that it changes us. I realize it's not what goes in a man that defiles a man, but that that comes out. Now speak through your servant. We'll be careful to give you thanks. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, very familiar scripture here this morning, chapter number 6. I want you to look with me. In verses 1 through 7, I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast. In verses 1 through 6, we see that the church house was getting ready to grow. And as things were growing, one of the laborers, his axe head fell off. You know the story, the head fell in the water. Elijah sat down, got the axe head out, brought it back. How the man began to fail again, and that things were growing. You thought everybody would be rejoicing. But may I say to you, if you go on into verse number 8, you'll find that there was a battle that was going on. You'll find that Syria and Israel were against one another. How the man of God was in a place that they were wondering of how that they were going to get things together. But thanks be unto God, the God of Elisha. He smote folks with blindness, and they were not able to see what was going on. But go with me to verse 24. It's where I'd like to pick up and preach just for a little while this morning. But in verse number 24, you'll find an interesting word written in your Bible. You'll find the word besieged. I want you to know that word besieged means a little different than we think. How many folk think it's the same thing as being attacked? But the word besieged means to be set up round about, to cut off the supplies. It speaks of separating you from your source. It speaks this morning, friend, of things drying up because there's no inflow or outflow. May I say to you this morning, church, how the Bible said there was a great famine in the land. Can I tell you this morning, wherever you find that there's a great something in the Bible, you'll find the help of the Lord. There'll be something that's great. In Mark chapter number 4 and verse 37, the Bible said that there was a great storm. But thanks be unto God, if you'll go on and and read in verse 39. I'm glad that when Jesus spoke, there was a great calm. Amen. And the storm lay down. So may I say to you this morning, in the midst of the famine, I'd like to preach on this thought this morning with the help of the Lord. The Gourmet Cafe of Samaria. Amen. I want you to look at me. They serve some things that's right strange. First of all, I want you to notice. I want you to notice with me in verse 25. I want you to see that they sold, amen, donkey head soup. Amen. I want you to realize that when you study in the Bible, that the donkey is an unclean animal. It is an animal that was not designed. Amen. It was an unclean animal. Anytime that you study and read about the donkey, you'll find that it has a stubborn mentality. Amen. Many of folks in our churches today, we've got such a mentality that it's about us. Amen. When I pulled up out here this morning, I looked on the church sign. It said Blue Ridge Baptist Church. It did not say Burger King, and you could have it your own way. But may I say unto you this morning, church, how we ought to have it God's way. We ought to have a mentality. Can I say to you this morning, friend, God's Spirit does not bring a spirit of stubbornness, but it brings a spirit of sensitivity. But when God moves into camp, friend, I'll say to you this morning, with all heart and with all love, it'll cause you to change the way you think. It'll get you to be sensitive into what He wants you to do. May I say to you this morning, the Word of God, friend, again, does not produce stubbornness. Somebody said, oh, preacher, it was not Jeremiah. Jeremiah was not a stubborn man, but he was a strong-willed man. God made him that way so that he could use him. Can I tell you, I want to prove to you the difference between being sensitive and being stubborn. You're familiar with Acts chapter 5 in your Bibles. A man and a woman by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. They come in and they rob God of the things that they ought to be giving him. Amen. Can I say to you, it wasn't long that they had a funeral service. Not for one, but for two. There's some folks in the church house, they're going to do it their way or the highway. Can I tell you this morning, and I'll say it with love. Amen. Hey, God could take a few funerals and help a lot of good Baptist churches across the land. There's some folk that thinks that the church house cannot run without them. Can I tell you, friend, this place has existed 50 years without me and without you. Friend, with the glory of God, He'll move on. He'll call other men of God. He'll grow other folks and bring them along life's way. But can I say to you this morning, some folk are satisfied with donkey head soup, but there's other folks that would like to have an appetizer of dove dung nuggets. Amen. I want you to look with me. You'll see, friend, now somebody said, listen to me. Somebody said that was a plant in the Bible day. I got news for you. When you study this out, it was literally the waste of a bird. It was literally that came from the bird. Can I say to you, there's many of us that are sitting on the pews on a Sunday morning, the dove dung nuggets or where the dove was and not where the dove is. How many of us, friend, are satisfied of where the dove used to be? Oh, we get up and talk about how it used to be in the days of old. Will you talk about how it was with Dwight L. Moody? We'll talk about how it was with Billy Kelly. A friend will rejoice and say, we used to do it this way. We used to have services such as this. Honey, I got a question for you this morning. Has our God changed? I believe the Bible still says that the earth is His footstool and heaven is His throne. Why can't me and you rejoice and just have church and exhort Him in the days that we live in? Hey man, I want to say to you, He's the same God that was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same God to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He's the same God that brought down fire to Elijah. Hey man, He's the same God that spoke blindness upon these people in Elisha's day. He's the same God that bid Peter out of the boat and come to walk unto Him. You say, what's the big deal about that? You read the Guinness Book of World Records, friend. You'll not find but two people that ever walked on water. Their name's Jesus and Peter. Amen. Now listen to me. That puts Him in a mighty small crowd, don't it? But there's many of you
that look back and say, boy, I used to be this and that. I'm sick of used to be Christians. A friend, God has equipped us. He's loved us enough. He's given us enough grace that we can stand and accomplish some things in this last day for Him. But there's many of us that would just rather talk about what it used to be. Can I say to you this morning, well done is better than well said. You ought to just rejoice in the fact and what He's done for you and where He's been and what He's done. But some people's testimony are no more than a celebration of the dove dung nugget. They never brag on the things of God. They'll stand up and tell 20 minutes of how the devil swooped them and rolled them down. Can I say to you this morning, friend, if He saddled you up, take the saddle off. He doesn't own you. He ought not be riding you. You ought to go on for the glory of God. But listen, how long has it been where you've been in the service of where you got out of His way? When's the last time you've been in the service of where, friend, somebody just tore the roof off the place, got the clay out of the way? Amen. So that Jesus could be seen and exalted. When's the last time? Man, I can tell you, I was here last night, and I appreciate the spirit in which Brother Powers preached in. Amen. He's just a man that gets up and put his breeches on one leg at a time like you. But I appreciate the Holy Ghost coming by here last night. But there's some of us that sat in the midst of that service last night, and we still can't tell you anything that the Lord's done or moved in a service. We've never saw it on that fashion before. It's what them boys said in Mark chapter 2 when they tore the roof off at Capernaum. But notice with me in verse 26, I want you to notice the split peas. Amen. Notice there the split peas. You say, what's that? They were to a place, friend, where they hear a woman cry out of desperation. And she said, if the Lord do not help thee, where should I get help? Now I see that they're also, friend, how many church leaders have been discouraged and quit? How many of you, friend, have got down and out? Blue Ridge, things are on the way up. You heard the preacher. There were some times when things started to die around here, but there start to be some young folk again. And the Lord's sending you some inflow. I'm glad this place ain't been besieged yet. It hasn't been cut off yet. The Holy Ghost is still birthing life and moving. You're still having folk on Sunday morning and on Tuesday night, Monday night, still raising their hand and say they're lost. You say, preacher, are you rejoicing? And surely the God I am. If a man find himself lost, he can get right. He can get born again. There's enough grace and love in this place to save every sinner. Amen. I want you to realize this morning, hey, friend, he said that there was no wheat and there was no grapes. You say, what's the big deal about wheat? When you didn't have wheat in the Bible, you didn't have any bread. I'm glad, friend, there's some fresh manna in here. Amen. Listen to me. We're not eating. Amen. We're not eating croutons. We're not eating stale bread. But we're eating the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall never thirst and hunger. I believe Jesus said in John chapter 6, He said, your fathers did eat of the manna in the wilderness and are dead. But nobody's ever partook of Him and died, friend. Amen. He said, there's no grapes. There's nothing on the wine press. You want to know, there's no, He said in other words, He said, when the city gets like this, He said, there's no joy. I'm glad there's joy unspeakable in here this morning. I'm glad this morning. Listen to me. There's a harvest coming. And can I ask you, what are you doing to bring in some fresh manna? What are you doing to stir and bring in some joy? Can I say to you, and then look with me in verses 28 and 29, and I'm done. Amen. Listen, 28 and 29, there's some folks that are feasting on some boiled bubbles. Amen. Listen to me. Brother Poncho and you folks here, God's blessed you with some youngins to come along life's way. Don't boil them. Don't kill them. You got a generation coming along, and I'm sick of hearing everywhere I go preachers saying, boy, this is the next generation. No, they're the generation of today. Hey, man, listen, the last time I read this Bible, God took an 8-year-old boy and turned the nation of Israel upside down. God took a little shepherd boy out in the middle of a field and killed some giants. Hey, man, I believe it was a little maid that went to, Naaman's wife, or went to Naaman and said, hey, there's a man in the land of Egypt. Hey, there's a land, man in the land of Samaria, that's able to take care of your needs. God's used little bitty people. I believe, friend, when the disciples got over there on that hillside and they didn't have anything to eat and they were beginning to wonder where it was going to come from, I believe it was a little bitty boy that offered up his fish and his loaves. I believe God took a little bitty lunch and fed a great big bunch. Hey, man, listen to me this morning. We ought to realize. Now you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that they can grow. Train a child up in the way that he's when he's old, he'll not depart from it. What are we doing? Many of us are having our little bitty youth programs and sticking pacifiers in their mouth. Can I say to you, friend, get them in the house of God. Bring them up under old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned preaching. Hey, man, listen to me. We went to a Sunday school convention one time, and they told me this. That preacher said, who in here has got growth in the church? Man, I was new at pastor, and I raised both hands. I said, the Lord's blessing down there. They said, what kind of programs you got? I said, I ain't got no programs. I said, we give them a good dose of the Holy Ghost. He said, oh, no, I'm talking about seriously. What kind of programs you got? I said, you listen to me. You come out with hot dog programs, the church up the road will have a hamburger program and they'll get them. I said, but if the Holy Ghost don't constrain them, save them, and change their life, it ain't nothing ever going to do anything for them. He said, so you're trying to tell me that you got growth in your church. I said, friend, the Lord took a group of 30 over there and he cut us. And he brought us down to about 18. And now he's brought us up to, in a year and a half, he's got us about 65. I said, I'm a bragging on his good name. He said, yeah, you're one of them bivocational preachers. He said, you'll rejoice in anything. I said, I know, and when I ought to rejoice. And I'm rejoicing, friend, that we didn't kill the next generation. Hey, but some of them little boys and girls, First Church of pastored. Some of them boys now are standing and teaching Sunday school classes. Some of them young men have been called to preach. You say, preacher, I'm rejoicing in the fact this morning God's still able to raise up a young man and a woman for the next generation. Can I say to you, Wednesday night's not a time to take them to the fellowship hall and feed them pizza. It's a time to bring them in and teach them some things. Hey, friend, hey, can I say to you this morning, don't think we've got no worries here, but I'll just go ahead and preach it anyways. We've got folks in this contemporary movement. They'd rather have the fog than have God. May I say to you this morning, you remember contemporary is made up of two words. It's a con and it's temporary. You give them the old past and you help them walk therein. Hey, friend, I like that old time religion. I'm not talking about just what grandma and grandpa had, but I'm talking about old fashioned worship where folks really laid down things because they loved the Lord. You remember in 2 Samuel chapter 24 when the old king looked over at David and said, take all you want and build an altar. David said, boy, I won't take anything unless it costs me something. He said, I won't offer it. Hey, friend, we need to let our youngins know that we're willing to serve him at any cost. But we get to a place anymore. Amen. We're in spiritual cannibalism. We'll just, amen, we will. We'll ball them and we'll kill them. And we'll wonder why the church is in the shape that it's in for the next year. Can I say to you this morning, quit eating at the gourmet cafe of Samaria. Donkey head soup won't do you any good. It'll cause you to be stubborn when you ought to be sensitive to the things of God. Quit rejoicing in where you was and start rejoicing in where you are. And can I say something to you? If you can't rejoice in where you are, won't you get right where you can?
Right, right.
Amen. Amen. There's too many of you that's straddling the fence. And last time I checked, the kingdom of God ain't got fence posts in it.
That's right.
So you can climb up and waver one way or the other, get in or get out. Amen.
Yes,
just get on side.
Right.
And then let's realize what God's blessed us with.
Amen.
I look around here and I see several youngins this morning. Does my heart good in a service on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Train them. Love them. Let them do. I remember my Sunday school teacher said this to me one time. He said, when I grew up, he said, I can't hardly tell you my Sunday school teacher's name. He was a deacon at the church where I pastored. He said, I hardly can't remember my Sunday school teacher's name when I was a little boy. But he said, I know this. He said that he loved me. He said, and he taught me the Word of God. He said, I might not can tell. That's the kind of legacy I want to leave, friend. You might not know my name when I leave here, but I want you to know that I'll preach to you the Word of God. I'll do my best to love on you and help you so that you'll go on for the glory of God. Can I say to you, be careful at whose table you slide your feet under. Be careful of where you eat. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning.
My soul.